Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, one and all. Welcome along. It is the final of X Factor this weekend, the semi-final of Strictly Come Dancing. We're building up to Sports Personality of the Year, and we've got all the Christmas specials as well. My name's Lee Phelps. Reality Rob Dixon is in the studio with me. Hello, Rob.
Good afternoon.
Andy Holding is on the line as well. Hi, Andy.
Hi, boys.
You all right?
Yeah, very well, very well. Yes, good. Indeed.
And we will have Daniel Gould from SofaBet along very soon as well to chat about X Factor. Let's start with Strictly Come Dancing. No, we've got the outright prices as ever to start with. Jay McGuinness now 2-9, Georgia May Foote 7-1, Anita Rani 9-1, Katie Derham 14s, Kelly Bright 20-1. Rob, fill us in on any movement in the betting, any big bets, any surprising things this week for you?
Yeah, it's been a pretty surprising week, to be fair. We'll start with last week when Helen George was the next casualty.
Bottom two was a surprise.
More of a surprise the fact that Georgia was in with her as well. The fact that both Kelly and Katie avoided the bottom two was probably the biggest shock for, if not this season, for maybe two or three years before that as well. So based on the fact that Jay got through without the need of the dance off has just made him even shorter now. So 2-9. It's opened up really the top female market, and without, because Georgia was 4-9 for that, she's lengthened now to, I think it's 4-6, and maybe the momentum starting to come with Anita.
Yeah, maybe. Andy, how surprised were you at that bottom two last week?
Massively, yeah. The Helen George one was, I suppose, sort of not semi-predictable, but you could see that come in the fact that she hasn't been polling very high. But her actual dance ability, there's no denying that. But you often find that, don't you, at this stage of the competition, that it's the personalities, it's the people who've been voting for their favourites all the way through that tend to sort of stand out when it counts the most. And this sort of sense of complacency with the voters, i.e., well, Helen and Georgia are going to get through to the final, we don't really need to vote them, was very much there for all to see, with, of course, those two being in the dance-off, and Georgia being probably the more proficient of the two, or the more stylistic of the two. She went through. Of course, Helen didn't have a particularly good dance for her last week, did she? It was a difficult one for her to pull off, so doing the tango. So, yeah, it was... You would have got big odds on that, wouldn't you, Helen and Georgia being in the dance office? That was a bottom two betting structure.
Yeah, it definitely would have been. No, we were talking about that on Sunday night. Obviously, you've got the top female market then that Rob mentioned, 4-6 Georgia, Anita Rani 11-4, 11-2 Katie Derham, Kelly Bright 8-1. I mean, we have seen in previous series, someone finish, go into a bottom two and then still finish second, haven't we?
And
do really well. It's not like it's the end of the world for them, because the judges take over in the final anyway.
It's got to this stage where if people have become complacent, think that Georgia was going to make the final, now it's proved once again that nobody's safe.
Yeah.
While the inferior dancers in Katie and Kelly have got sort of decent fan support to keep them, it's now a question of Georgia's fans having to pick up the phone now to make sure she's in next week's final.
Yeah. This week then, the semi-final, as I said, these are the dances that the couples have got to do. We've got Anita and Kleb doing the foxtrot and the salsa. It's the Viennese waltz and the cha-cha-cha for Georgia and Giovanni. Viennese waltz and the Charleston for Jay and Aliona. It's the waltz and the Charleston for Katie and Anton, and Kelly and Kevin have got the American Smooth and the Rumba. The odds 10-11, Kelly Bright favourite to go this week. Katie Derham is 2-1, Anita Rani 4-1, Georgia May Foote 8-1, and Jay McGuinness 50-1. What do you make of those combinations of dances, Andy?
Well, a lot depends on the key Latin dances that both Katie and Anton and Kelly and Kevin are doing. We know that they're both going to be pretty spot on. They're going to get high scores in their in-hole dances, the ballroom dances. Of course, Katie and Anton basically have survived on a diet of good ballroom dances, with obviously Anton being the king of the ballroom. They're doing the waltz. Not a lot can go wrong with that. You know, they're going to get sort of close to 35, 36 with that. Kelly and Kevin are going to do a decent American smooth. I don't think she's as good as Katie and Anton in the ballroom, although there's not going to be too many points in it. You'll probably get a 32-33 situation there. So it's going to be all to play for as they go then into the Latin section. Of course, Katie and Anton doing the Charleston to Darn Hot from the musical Kiss Me Kate. So the music is good. It's set up for the perfect dance. But it all depends how quirky it's going to be, how structured it is, and how good Anton is pulling off the choreography, and whether Katie, of course, can pull off that quirky number. If she can, she's got every chance of beating Kelly and Kevin to the punch, because unfortunately for them, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, they're doing the rumba, which has been the downfall of many, many good dancers in the past. It's hard to score high in the rumba, unless, of course, you're a Georgia or a Jay who've got the dance technique as well as the sort of feel and the performance levels. So it is a difficult call between the two. I can't see Georgia going this way because in keeping with X Factor style, they're doing the cha-cha to I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor after a dance-off debacle last week. A very poignant song for her, and of course they're doing the Viennese Waltz as well. I think Anita and Gleb are the surprise package from here on in, and if there is going to be a danger in the top woman market to us guys who've backed Georgia, then I think it's very much the Gleb factor, which has been very much apparent through the whole series. I think they're voting for him rather than Anita, or just as much. They should be fine with a foxtrot and a salsa combination. We know Jay's an absolute penalty kick anyway. So I think it is going to be the dance-off between those two, Katie and Kelly. And, of course, it'd be interesting to see which one of those two, of course, they do dance in the dance-off itself. Whether they... It all depends which order those go in. I'm presuming that the Latin goes second, and if that's the case, then I've got a feeling Katie and Anton's Charleston might be a bit better than Kevin and Kelly's rumba.
So Kelly Bright, the 10-11 favourite. What do you think about that, Rob?
Yeah, I couldn't really make a case. The money this week's all been for Kelly. We opened at, I think it was 6-4 each on Monday, and it's really been one-way traffic for Kelly. Not too much, but... The amount of money compared to the other one, then I think the market's spoken that Kelly goes this week. But I suppose if there's a shock, I almost think that bizarrely that Jay could end up maybe bottom two. But if Georgia gets the factor, if Georgia gets the bounce, Anita, who I think I tipped up a bit to go maybe bottom two last week, survive. I think, as Andy said, with the Gleb factor, I think she survives into the final. Maybe Jay is slightly more vulnerable than he would be on any normal week. But again, as I said last week, I can't see anything other than Kelly and Katie being in the bottom two. And as the market suggests, I think Kelly might be... back to Walford come Monday morning.
Fair enough. That'll do us, Andy, I think. There's not much more to look at there,
I
is there?
So. Yeah, I think, yeah. There's not that many better opportunities now all the way through to the final.
I'm sure you'll be putting up some massive specials on the final,
sure,
won't you,
really,
Rob?
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
No expert, so you won't have any experts to do that, will you?
No
load of time.
Got a nice break.
You've got loads of time to do like a whole raft of Strictly specials
for the
final.
I might do some this afternoon. Anything to get out of these doing rugby union, really. I'll be honest with you.
Andy, I'll let you go, because I know you want to watch the next at Cheltenham.
Okay, guys.
Enjoy the
guys.
Racing, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, Kellen and Kevin to go.
Cheers, Andy.
Cheers, now. Cheers. Bye.
Andy holding there on the semi-finals of Strictly Come Dancing. Let's turn our attention to the X Factor final, shall we? Delighted to welcome to the podcast Daniel Gould from SofaBet.com, also on Twitter at SofaBet. You well, Daniel?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me on, Lee.
Well, we're on tenterhooks here. This staggeringly exciting final. No one knows which way it's going to go. Actually, we all know which way it's going to go, don't we? 1-5, Louisa Johnson. 9-2, Reggie and Bowley. 14-1, Che Chesterman. Even the to finish third looks nailed on. 2-7, Che Chesterman. 11-4, Reggie and Bowley. 25-1, Louisa Johnson. To finish second, Reggie and Bowley. 8-15. 11-4, Che Chesterman. 4-1, Louisa Johnson. Can we make any argument here, guys, for Louisa not winning this? There's nothing, is there? I mean, YouTube views, she romps home in that. She doesn't seem to be touched. They've given her every possible help they could have given her. They may as well give her the trophy straight away, Daniel.
I fear what with the producer's support she'll get at a weekend that, you know, it should be hers in the bag. I think it's good for her that the song she's reprising on the Sunday is her semi-final song, because that indicates to me that she won the semi-final, and that usually means you win the final. The only example of that not happening since you've got the stats is Alexandra Burke. She just narrowly lost the semi-final, then went on to win the final. But otherwise, if you win the semi, you win on the phone boat, you win the final, and it does the Lola Weezer.
Have you seen much money this week, Rob? For anything?
No, it's been very, very quiet. It'll get busier tomorrow and stuff, but no, there's not that many betting opportunities. I can't say this on a betting podcast. There's not that many betting opportunities for the final. It's not close. What I did do, though, I did listen to last year's podcast.
Well, it was very good, wasn't it?
It was a very good podcast with all three of us on it. We chatted really about sort of how the producers had pushed Fleur. And we'd brought up the comment of the producers had done all they can to get her over the line. Now, would the public do the same? And there's still that one question mark about Louisa that I've got. Has she connected with the public enough to get them to pick up their phones, go on the app and vote her the winner? And that's the one question
It's been a strange series, unless I've missed something, and I may well have. We haven't learned that much about any of them, have we?
No,
have we? Am I missing something? We know more about Reggie and Bolly than we know about the other two. And maybe it's just because they haven't really got lives. They're both
I know.
I don't mean that in a bad way, by the way. People do have lives. I mean, they've got kids and all that sort of stuff.
Louisa, she's from Essex. She supports West Ham. She likes her dad, and they favourite. They've made a fav, basically. They gave her the pimp slot on the first night show, and that was it. She was fav in the market after the first show, and she's still fav 8-9 weeks later.
It seems like they've told us that, you know, she's a favourite. They haven't told us an awful lot about her. She's not particularly gripping when she's on screen. She's not got that much personality. It's almost like she's just being carried along with it as well. Because it's been such a short-lived live show, we don't seem to have learnt much, do we?
No, they've pulled back on the sob stories for her. There's a slightly complicated family situation, and there's a stepdad, and you know, there's been a divorce. So I just wonder if they've steered clear of that for personal reasons, and that means that given that she's 17, there's not much else to talk about with her. This is all she's wanted to do, as she's told us on many occasions, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And same with Che, really. We don't know anything about Che, do we?
It is always difficult with teenagers. You know, we've had this problem in the past. Ella Henderson had nothing to say for herself for the time she was on the show. And, you know, it's much easier with the more mature contestants for them to have a backstory.
Let's just get this out of the way, by the way. Can Reggie and Bolly win this show? I mean, is this kind of this juggernaut that they've created, can it possibly run away with them? The song choices are out, by the way, for the final. It's Reggie and Bolly are doing Spice Up Your Life and Boom 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 as their new song. And Jump as the other one. Che Chessman's doing Valerie and In the Air Tonight. I Believe I Can Fly and Fighter. We've got the... Louisa's doing the duet with Rita Ora, we're told. Have we had anywhere who the duet's going to be for Che and Reggie and Bolly?
We haven't yet. No, there are rumours that Che is going to get a very big name, and the suggestion has been it might be Stevie Wonder, in fact, who happens to be in London at the time. But we'll only get confirmation either later today or tomorrow.
I did see rumours of Reggie and Bolly in One Direction this morning, but obviously that's an unconfirmed.
So go back to the question: can Reggie and Bolly win this thing?
Yes, I think they can. I just don't see how the producer... If they're going to do it, it's an anti-producer vote again, because I can't see them getting much help during the final. Mm. Louisa will get the slots to get maximum attention. She'll get the ad breaks to help her and everything like that. The only way they're going to do it is if they've made it too obvious. Have the anti-Fleur or the pro-Ben vote last year, a lot of it was down to the fact that she's getting too much preferential treatment. they don't like it. If you push people too much, they resist against it. Have they done enough to resist against Louisa? She's not a hated figure, is there? There's no negativity about Louisa.
I guess I'm thinking more about the fact that
they made sure they didn't bang on the bus last
when
week.
When they come on, Reggie and Bolly, it does lift the show.
Yeah.
Now, Daniel, they could be made to be embarrassed in this final, being it,
yeah.
with the two fantastic singers. It yeah. might just be the public go, do you know what? They're not so good anymore. Yeah. Having said that, yeah. they could lift the whole show and it could make it into a bit of a party and people could vote that way. What are you thinking?
Well, my approach is I'm green on Louisa, mildly green on my book, and I'm mildly red on Reggie and Bolly. And at the odds, I'm not really keen on changing anything, and I'm just going to go into the show and amuse myself by seeing that balancing act that you guys have just mentioned about pushing Louisa without making us feel like we're having it rammed down our throats, and the ways in which they're going to make Reggie and Bolly look a little bit embarrassing at times. Look out for that first verse where they're singing just on their own. And we realise, you know, how weak their vocals are. Look out for references to their foreignness and stuff like that. So it's going to be fascinating for me just to see how either subtle or not so subtle the pushing of Louisa and the bringing back, the reining back of Reggie and Bolly is going to be.
Okay, so following on from that argument, if they push too hard on Reggie and Bolly, can we make an argument then for Che Chesterman to finish second?
I mean, I at the start of the week, I thought that, you know, I thought if they were going to press the emergency stop on Reggie and Bolly, that might be a possibility. Looking at Che Chesterman's song choices, I mean, In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, that does not give encouragement that Che can break the stat that no person who's been in the bottom two twice goes on to reach as high as second. So I fear for Che based on that song choice and the news on Extra Factor that there would be dancing hamburgers in his salary routine. It's set in a diner, apparently. So that kind of thing doesn't bode well. There is a logic to having Reggie and Bolly with Louisa on the Sunday, and you have the one who's got her great vocals against the one that the act who hasn't got great vocals, and you've also got the two acts who haven't been in the bottom two, so you can create a bit of suspense. So I fear for Che that third is all he can manage.
If you do like Che Chesterman to finish second, it's prices 11 to 4, I believe, isn't it? Have I got that right? Yeah, 11 to 4 for Che to finish second. That's the only bit of value I can see in the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm looking out for is in running, if kind of people latch onto something in running, if they overreact to something.
Yeah.
That's what I'm watching out for. At the prices before the show, you know, there's nothing that really takes my fancy so far.
And you'll be doing this in play, I guess, Rob, will you?
Yeah, we've done it in play for the last 6 years. Why would we not do the final? No,
you're like Arsene Wenger with Arsenal. You never miss, do you?
Never miss.
Never miss these things.
Never miss.
There are some other markets available, based around the judges becoming permanent judges and whether Ollie Mears and Caroline Flack will be joint presenters in 2016. The yes is 4-6, the no is 11-10 on that. Check out all those different markets as well. Simon Cowell to be a permanent judge on 2016. Rita Rora, Nick Grimshaw, and Cheryl Fernandez-Vicini. She doesn't waste away. I'm getting more and more worried about Cheryl.
No, just to survive till next year.
I'm worried those cheeks. She might just become a pair of cheekbones
exactly.
by 2016. But that's pretty much it, isn't it? There's not much more to discuss, is there?
That's the X factor.
Yeah, it's a shame, yeah. Really, Daniel, isn't it?
It's a shame. Compared to last year, which was full of kind of the favourites flip-flopping throughout. The comment section on SofaBet was full of, oh, I think Ben's got it, no, I think Fleur's got it, all the way through the final. And it was fascinating and thrilling. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that this year, I think.
The biggest surprise in this series was when I saw the advert last week for asking for contestants for 2016. I was amazed when I saw that. I thought there wasn't going to be one in 2016.
All I could see was another 3 months of hard work in front of me. That was all.
Daniel, thank you very much for your time throughout the live shows this
Pleasure.
Series. It's been great as ever.
Thanks
for joining us on the podcast. Don't forget, check out Sofa. sofabet.com. It's also available on Twitter. Go to @sofabet. The reviews and the previews. There'll be a great debrief after the final as well, Daniel, I presume. Will there?
Yeah, we will. You know, because actually the one fascinating thing that might happen this weekend is we get the stats from the voting percentages of each week, and we put up a quick review of that as soon as we get them.
Yeah, always interesting to read that with a view for the following series, and just to compare about previous series. So thanks again, Daniel.
Cheers.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the X Factor final. Rob, shall we have a look at BBC Sports Personality of the Year?
Let's.
And some Christmas specials. Sports Personality of the Year, we have Andy Murray at 4-6, although he's just waning a little bit there. 2-1 Jessica Ennis-Hill. 6-1 Kevin Sinfield, with numerous rugby league campaigns on Twitter. 16-1 Tyson Fury, drifting like a barge. 25-1 Lewis Hamilton, the Formula One champion, of course. 66-1 Tour de France winner Chris Froome. 66-1 long jumper Greg Rutherford, who pulled out of a spot here, then went back into it this week. 100-1 Mo Farah, 250 Adam Peaty and Lizzie Armistead. 300 Lucy Bronze and Max Whitlock. That's the story, really, isn't it? How Andy Murray's softened. If Andy Murray's softened, Who's been getting the money?
Money has come for second and third favourites in the last 24 hours. Jess Ennis was 5-2, now to 2. Kevin Sinfield was 8-1, now into 6. I noticed the drift this morning when I got up, and I was looking. I was trying to find a reason for it, and I think the only reason we've got for the Murray drift is really the market correcting itself. Maybe the market had gone too short. He was 2-5, 4-11 a few days ago. Drifted back to 4-6, which is probably probably the sort of price I expect him. I expect it to drift further. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off around sort of even money with the high street firms, a little bit bigger on Betfair come next Sunday.
Yeah, indeed. We've got the top three finish as well here. 16-1 Andy Murray, 5-1 on Jessica Ennis-Hill, 4-9 Kevin Sinfield now. So your first odds against is Lewis Hamilton, which a lot of people are talking about, that 6-4, maybe being value, maybe pushing Jess Ennis-Hill out of the top three. There's also a really intriguing match bet. I'd like you to do more of these match bets. This is Tyson Fury versus Greg Rutherford. The BBC released the voting figures for this, so this will be on their finishing position. 1-10 Fury, 6-1 Greg Rutherford. They've obviously been involved in a bit of a spat this week. That's why Greg Rutherford was going to pull out, because he didn't want to be sharing a stage, if you like, with Tyson Fury and his well vaunted views on life.
What sort of views do you think he's got, Lee?
Tyson Fury?
Yeah.
Questionable, I think the word is. There should be more of these.
There should be.
This is good.
Will be.
I like this. This is a nice market.
But what I like, kind of, I'm probably not going to get any value here at all now, is the Tyson Fury Lewis Hamilton. If anyone wants to price that up. Because I think...
Why can't you do it?
Well, I can, but I want to bet.
All right, so yeah.
But the outright prices are wrong at the moment for me here. Lewis Hamilton got 200,000 votes last year when he won Sports Personality.
Yep.
These votes...
Over 200,000.
These votes don't disappear overnight.
No.
He gets less, but he probably gets... Even if he got half that, is good enough for top three. Why... I don't understand anymore why... Tyson Fury's a short. It's not an anti-vote. We're not. You're not anti-establishment voting for Fury, are you?
No.
Apart from being sort of world champion, why are you now voting for Fury? There's no reason. He was 4-1 when he won that world title fight a couple of weeks ago. It was 4-1 straight after.
Mm.
And I think we took 1,500 quid, 1,500, 1,600 quid at 4-1. Now 16-1. And to me, he goes off about 50-1 next, doesn't he?
Sure.
But, we've just touched on it. I think I'm not sure that Lewis Hamilton's the value, as much value at 6-4, because I do think the first two are pretty much lock-ins. It's just whether he's going to do enough to beat Sinfield. But there's such a Twitter campaign to get Sinfield at least a place on Spotty, then...
You'd think they'd get there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
People will commit to it, won't they?
I think they've done enough to get there. I mean, it's only a 40, 45-minute voting... window as well.
Yeah, so. And the other interesting thing is it's not just a campaign to get him there. There's a campaign at the moment, which is really interesting, telling people to register to vote.
Yeah.
You can vote on the app, can't you?
Yeah. I think,
but you have to register to vote on the phone.
Yeah.
Now, how many people are going to be bothered to do that unless you're being expressly asked to do that?
Yeah.
It's not something you go, oh, yeah, I must register my vote with register to vote on the BBC. It just, well, I can't see that happening. So, excuse me. double excuse me. So I can see why the Kevin, I mean, obviously all the value is gone now, but I can see why the Kevin Sinfield thing might be a goer.
Definitely. I mean, I've liked it from when I sort of a shortlist.
Did you back it?
Yeah. Well,
as a rugby league fan, you owe it to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. If you've backed it,
I mean,
you're duty bound to vote, aren't you?
I'm obviously going to be biased in this market. The only problem that rugby league has, as I touched on last week, it is quite a community-based sport where you're not going to get people in the next town, you're not going to get people in Castleford voting for something in Leeds, you're not going to get somebody from Wakefield voting for something in Leeds. That's the problem that you've got.
Or anyone in the south of England voting for anything to do with rugby league.
It's not Sam Burgess. They won't understand what's going on.
Christmas betting. We've got another podcast next week, so we can do a lot more on these.
Have we?
Come on, it's only the 11th of December today. We'll do one on the 18th, and that'll take us through to Christmas.
I'm not doing one on Christmas Day.
You don't have to do one on Christmas Day. Top Christmas number one book, Guinness Book of World Records, and Simply Nigella are the 2-1 joint favourites. Road to Little Dribbling is 7-2. Jamie Oliver 5-1. Over the Top and Back 9-1. Amazing Book is Not on Fire 10-1, as is Those Were the Days, 12-1 and Bigger the Rest. We'll go through these in more detail, as I said, next week. This is to be confirmed by Nielsen Book Scan. We've also got the number one single, which a UK X Factor winner is 10-11.
Louise Johnson.
NHS Choir is 5-1. Justin Bieber 7-1. More on that. Still on Christmas Day, of course, as usual. We've also got the top TV programme. Mrs Brown's Boys 5-4 favourite. Downton Abbey 3-1. EastEnders 4s 10s. The BBC Queen's Christmas Speech. Call the Midwife 16-1. Strictly 16-1. 20-1 and Bigger the Rest. I'm looking forward to getting stuck into these.
Yeah,
we're really going to have a chat. Can you do toy? Have you got your toy?
No, I've not got the toy list from Hamleys.
Why don't they do that anymore?
Get the toy list.
It's ever since you went to see him. They've never given you a list.
They've now banned me from the store as well, by the way.
Well, thank you, Rob. That's good.
Thank you.
Loads more TV specials on the specials pages, and there's lots of Oscars and Golden Globes on there. So if you're into your award season betting, then go and check that out. And we'll be back next week with the Strictly Come Dancing final. More on those Christmas specials, and hopefully some winners from the weekend. Rob's at @reality_Rob on Twitter. It's at @sofabet for Daniel and his team. I'm at Lee Phelps, and Andy Holding still refuses to become a tweeter. So any comments for Andy, send them via us. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck with your bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.